Hi, I'm Anna Wolska with the Lupus Foundation of America, which is the founder and owner of the global peer-reviewed journal, Lupus Science and Medicine, that is published by BMJ. On today's episode, we will be discussing the paper entitled Clarifying Misbeliefs About Hydroxychloroquine, Developing the Hydroxychloroquine Benefits versus Harm Decision Aid per Low Health Literacy Standards, which was recently published in Lupus Science and Medicine Journal. We are joined by the authors of this article, Dr. Shivani Garg and Dr. Chrissy Bartos. I would start with Dr. Garg. Would you introduce yourself to us?
Hi, Anna. Thanks for covering our study. I am Shivani Garg. I am an assistant professor in the Division of Rheumatology, Department of Medicine at University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. And I'm also the director of UW's Lupus and Lupus Nephritis Clinics.
Excellent. And Dr. Bartos, how about you?
Thank you, Anna. I'm Chrissy Bartels. I'm the division chief at University of Wisconsin in Madison. I'm associate professor and also a health services researcher. I also am on the LFA's Medical Scientific Advisory Council and do some work in lupus with the ACR CDC funded new measures.
Wonderful. Could you please begin by describing how hydroxychloroquine serves as the cornerstone of lupus treatment? And why is it prescribed for all lupus patients, except those who it's contraindicated for?
So great question, Anna. So hydroxychloroquine is the cornerstone of treatment for lupus in that it reduces disease flares, it improves long-term outcomes, and there's epidemiologic data that shows that there are, for instance, 40% fewer new organ involvement cases and that there's prolonged survival actually for patients who take hydroxychloroquine. So even when patients are on complex regimens with many agents, the inclusion of hydroxychloroquine, the old standard that was approved in the 1960s for lupus, still matters for these patients in improving their long-term outcomes. It can be protective for many organs, and it improves long-term survival. It's quite rare that patients have either an allergy or, again, even more rare, and Dr. Garg can go into this in greater detail, that they've had, you know, very, very rarely with repeat exposure or other risk factors that they can develop some eye toxicity. So it really would be pretty infrequent that patients would have contraindications for hydroxychloroquine. And so that just really, again, highlights one of the new guidelines, as I mentioned in the ACR-CDC-funded work. We have three new guidelines for standard lupus care. The first is that everyone should be on hydroxychloroquine. The second is that we should do everything we can to minimize prolonged glucocorticoid exposure. And the third is that we should have regular lab monitoring. So again, number one in the guidelines and number one in our hearts as a therapy for lupus.
Very clear message. Dr. Garg, would you like to add something?
That was a great summary. I would also like to add that hydroxychloroquine, there is a lot of data that shows, we know that cardiovascular disease is one of the leading causes of mortality in patients with lupus. So data has shown that hydroxychloroquine also reduces the risk of having heart diseases in patients. So it reduces the chance of premature mortality or early mortality because of heart diseases in these patients. So all in all, makes it even a stronger case to be on this medicine rather not take it.
Absolutely, since heart diseases are the leading cause of mortality worldwide. And in your article, you mentioned that there is up to 83% non-adherence to hydroxychloroquine treatment. That seems a lot. Could you elaborate on the reason for this?
Several studies show that the non-adherence ranges from somewhere around 46% to as high as 83%. And there could be a lot of reasons to not take the medicine. What our group thought would be most important will be to understand how patients feel about the medicine and why, what are their reported reasons to stop such a pivotal medicine. So we went to our patient advisory board, and that includes patients of different backgrounds, different age groups, and patients who have lived with lupus for several years. So we asked them to share their lived experiences, their beliefs and concerns that could could have affected their decisions to stop or take low doses of hydroxychloroquine. And in one of our previous studies, we highlighted that the number one reason was the concern for long-term side effects and also not receiving complete information about hydroxychloroquine during hard clinic discussions, especially if patients don't know the benefits versus harm of the medicine. A lot of times the harms daunt the patients. They have a lot of fear about having eye side effects and they can stop the medicine.
To improve hydroxychloroquine adherence, you developed a decision aid for hydroxychloroquine. Could you please provide a description of this tool?
It can be challenging for a patient to start a medicine like hydroxychloroquine and knowing that we commit a patient for a long period to hydroxychloroquine. So if a patient does not know the benefits versus the harms, it often raises concerns and fears regarding the medicine that could lead to self-discontinuation of the medicine. So that's why our team created a shared decision-making tool at CU Safe, which is a pictogram-based interactive shared decision-making tool that can help doctors and patients discuss during their visit or after the significant benefits of hydroxychloroquine in protecting organs, preventing death, preventing a blood clot, etc., compared to the low harms such as eye side effects. At CQ Safe, focused on 5 key lupus components, 4 are outcomes. 4 of them were benefits, which included lupus flare risk, accrued damage over time with lupus, death and blood clot risk with lupus, and then 1 harm of the medicine, eye side effects or eye toxicity. In each page of the tool, we had a pictogram that highlighted the chance of having the outcome in 100 people who were not taking hydroxychloroquine. And just next to that pictogram, we had another pictogram that highlighted the impact of hydroxychloroquine in those 100 patients when they start taking hydroxychloroquine. So the patients could conceptualize or visually see the impact of hydroxychloroquine in protecting organs, preventing a blood clot, and even preventing death compared to the low harms of having just 1 or 2 eye side effects over a period of 10 years of use.
Next question is whether and how actually this decision aid of hydroxychloroquine was tested in clinics and what were the main findings that these tests provided?
We tested at CQ Safe across 4 diverse clinics at UW, University of Wisconsin-Madison. We had 2 academic centers and 2 academic clinics and 2 community outreach clinics participating. And we tested at CQ Safe in 40 consecutive unique patient visits. The tool was discussed by a clinician with the patient by reviewing at least 1 benefit and 1 harm with the patient. And additional information was tailored to patients' needs or concerns or questions. We noted that in the study, a clinician was spending an average of 8 minutes to discuss the tool with the patients and a median time of 6 minutes, with 97% of visits spending less than 10 minutes to discuss benefits versus harms of the medicine with the patient using CQ Safe. We noted that 26% of decision conflicts were resolved by use of CQ Safe. And after reviewing CQ Safe tool, patients' self-reported knowledge about hydroxychloroquine, about benefits versus harm, was 100%. And then finally, we noted 100% completion rate and 100% net promoter score, which means that the likelihood of patients and clinicians to recommend the tool to their peers.
These are excellent results. Congratulations. Could you also please list the main strengths of your study and discuss any limitation of this work?
So as far as strengths of the study, I think a couple of things are clear. The first is that Dr. Garg did a fabulous job of engaging diverse patients, including patients with low health literacy, in creating this tool. So she asked them, what are their worries? What are their concerns? What would they like to see? I think a second main strength is the clarity of the tool, that she worked with designers and decision support experts and folks who were experts in this clinical decision, shared decision making, to get the format of the tool correct in a way that would be very easy to understand, to have side-by-side pictures of out of 100 patients, how many might experience benefit versus the same picture scale to say how many might experience rare harms. And it really helps patients understand that benefits outweigh risks. As far as limitations of the work, I think one self-identified limitation of this initial study was that this tool was only available in English. And I can proudly report that Dr. Garg and our teams have been working with Spanish-speaking patients and others to advance that. And I'd love to invite Dr. Garg to talk to you also about some other future steps that she's looking at.
Yeah, thank you. So besides that, we also noted a limitation that the tool is paper format. A lot of visits after COVID pandemic are conducted via as a video visit or telehealth. So it could be difficult to use a paper tool in setting of telehealth. So now we are working on developing an interactive web-based electronic version, which is now available in English and Spanish languages. So it will be easier to use and it will be easier to disseminate to patients, clinicians, peers, family members who are interested to review such materials. And also, one other thing that we noted as a limitation and we're trying to overcome is that physicians could have time constraints in busy clinical practices. So sometimes 8 minutes could be a lot of time commitment, and not all clinics are supported by a pharmacist. So we are now testing to see if other staff members could discuss this tool with the patients and how we could improve some of the implementation workflows to make it easy to be incorporated in diverse clinical settings, including busy practices with less resources.
And finally, Dr. Bartels, would you please tell us what future studies could be performed to maximize adherence to hydroxychloroquine treatment in lupus patients?
Great question, Anna. And I think that one of the great next steps that Dr. Garg is already undertaking, as you mentioned, would be testing the electronic version and testing the multilingual versions of the HCQ Safe tool. Additionally, as implementation scientists, we are putting on our hats on how to do this easily and more quickly in the clinic to make it feasible and scalable across time. So certainly something that we have in mind for the future would be to do a multi-site randomized trial where we, again, look at implementation strategies to try to make it streamlined and to look at uptake across populations to see what's the most effective mode of delivery and something that would be sustainable over time. I think also Dr. Garg has done a beautiful job of looking at hydroxychloroquine level monitoring. And so really thinking about tailored hydroxychloroquine use is something I think that resonates with patients as well, that if we can check to see that their dose is the right dose for them, that can also be a really great strategy to help them be reassured that we have a safe and effective dose on board as well.
All right. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Garg and Dr. Bartels. Would you like to say thank you to anyone?
Yeah, I would like to thank our co-authors, Dr. Ferguson, Dr. Keeble, Dr. Tuning. They all have been pivotal in designing the study and developing the tool and testing it. So big thank you to them. I personally want to thank Dr. Bartels for her mentorship on this project and helping with implementation science. And then I would like to thank our patient and healthcare advisors. They have spent a lot of time working on this project, looking at prototypes and working with the team to make these feasible and acceptable for patients, given that our tool had a really high likelihood to recommend to peers score. And then finally, I want to thank our funders. Without their support, this kind of research would not have been possible. So thank you.
Thank you. That was Dr. Garg and Dr. Bartels describing the research on the development and piloting of a decision aid for hydroxychloroquine that improves hydroxychloroquine adherence and its safe and effective use by patients with systemic lupus erythematosus. I'm Anna Wolska. Thanks for listening. And please don't forget to tune into the next episode of our podcast.